When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
He's a f***ing idiot!
You see? You see? You're stupid mimes! Stupid! Stupid!
Oh, wow, that is very interesting. Please tell me more.
Can you, like, shut up?
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valves, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
From the world-famous Cardiff Electric Network studios, it's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, and now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve and my little pal, Dr. Scott, traditional Chinese medicine provider, gives me street cred with wacko alternative medicine ass fucks. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
And my partner in all things, Tacey. Hello, Tacey.
Hello.
And my partner in my job. Hello, DMP Carissa. How are you?
Rude.
Yes, you are. This is a show for people who never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you've got a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call, 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or at DrScottWM. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything here with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your healthcare provider. All right, very good. Please don't forget stuff.drsteve.com, stuff.drsteve.com. I'll hug your neck if you use it. Stuff.drsteve.com, and just go there and you can click through to Amazon or you can scroll down and see all the stuff we talk about on this show. And we'll be referencing it later in the show. Rodie.drsteve.com, RODIE.drsteve.com, or you can get that at stuff.drsteve.com. Now, DNP Carissa, you had homework to do with regard to the Rodie, and you were going to use the Rodie coach to learn the ukulele. How's that going?
It's actually going really well.
Okay, so you're going to bring it in next week, and we're going to play a song together. Is that how this is going to go? Would you be ready? We'll do one of the songs that you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I am worried about that. I don't know how the fuck to play an instrument. I'm learning, but yeah. It is very helpful. I might work next week.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll work
but,
on your schedule.
I mean, typically I can.
Next time you come, will you bring
schedule.
It?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll
absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely.
Because Yeah, I was actually quite impressed. DNP Carissa, after just having that thing for a couple of days, was, you know, had three chords.
Oh, wow.
And three chords, about all you need. She could play
The Truth.
As It Was by, what's his face?
Harry Styles.
Harry Styles. She could play the Lava song from the Pixar.
That's my new tattoo.
And she's got the new tattoo, so there you go.
I love that song.
All right. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's literally three chords, and they're the, I guess that might be why. I don't know. Anyway, so those are the three chords that go with a lot of those kinds of songs. I mean, really, if you know the right three chords, you could play a crap load of songs with that, just in playing them in a different rhythm and different order and stuff. So anyway, check that out. Roadie.drsteve.com. Check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. And the Patreon.com, we did a group live stream last week, and that was fun to do. And check that out. We've got all kinds of content going way back. Plus, you can get access to the archives if it, depending on the level that you're at. And there are merchandise gifts that you get and all this kind of crap. So check it out. Plus, you know, fun shows. Patreon.com/weirdmedicine. We've had Pete Davidson, we had Mark Norman, we had the Troika of Opie and Anthony. All three of them have been on. So anyway, check that out. Anything else?
I think it's it.
Cameo. Ooh, we don't have a Cameo this week, but that was fun last week. Cameo.com/weirdmedicine. I'll say, you know, fluid to your mama. Or tell your best friend they have tiny testicles, which is what happened on the last Cameo. But I blamed it on the person that bought it, so... Anyway, it's fun. So, and it's cheap, unbelievably cheap. And it goes toward ham radio. So how can that be bad, right? We're going to bounce signals off the moon. That's what our next project is. So cameo.com/weirdmedicine. Check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. That's simplyherbals.net. And that is, you know, it's allergy season is upon us, and CBD... nasal spray is the a partial answer for that.
The magic stuff, brother.
And it, as far as I know, it can only be gotten at simplyherbals.net. Yeah. And instead of science, he uses magic. So
right.
There you go. There may be a silk foulard involved in there somewhere.
Oh,
there may be.
But anyway. Okay, very good. Well, we might as well just get right into it. I do have a topic of my own today.
What?
Before we get to calls. Yes, I do.
Dr. Steve did his homework.
Woo-hoo. This is Duran Duran guitarist Andy Taylor received end-of-life care before after his cancer diagnosis, and now he is asymptomatic.
Oh, wow.
So I'll read this article, and then I'll explain what happened. Founding Duran Duran member and guitarist Andy Taylor says he's now asymptomatic after previously receiving palliative end-of-life care following his cancer diagnosis. He revealed stage 4 prostate cancer diagnosis last November, saying he was initially diagnosed in 2018. And he explained the dramatic U-turn happened after a doctor told him about a breakthrough cancer drug dubbed a, quote, nuclear medicine. Okay, it's not dubbed that. It's what it is. Called lutetium 177 that targets cancer cells. So he underwent a round of the treatment, and conducted by Christopher Evans, whom Taylor referred to as the Elon Musk of cancer. This stuff is commercially available. It's not like this guy whipped up an isotope in his lab.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he was, quote, radioactive for several days. I was classified as palliative end-of-life care, and now I'm not. I'm asymptomatic. So I'm really glad that that is the case for him. So let's talk a little bit about lutetium 177. We used to use strontium-69, and then we were using radium. I can't remember the 223, I think. Mm. And now we're using this lutetium 177. What these are radioactive isotopes. So when you have a cancer cell that lives in your bone, it is constantly trying to protect itself, right? That's part of the thing. It starts growing and multiplying, and then it has to protect itself from the outside world. So it builds itself a little house. And one of the ions that it uses is calcium, because calcium is readily available, and that's what bone is partially made of. So it'll start grabbing calcium ions out of the blood and bringing it into itself to make its little house, right? Okay. Well, these cancer cells are so fucking dumb. I mean, really, you know, if you just want to say that, they're dumb.
Oh, my.
And they will grab radioactive isotopes as well. They think lutetium-177 is calcium.
Mm.
It's like, well, this looks like a calcium ion to me. I was going to put it right here in this brick house.
Bring it on in the house.
And it's very similar to how if you take corn and put rat poison on it, and then the rats take it into the nest and all the rats die. This is the same thing, kind of. A better analogy would be that you're giving someone who's laying bricks in their house, you're substituting C4 for some of those bricks. And after a while, you know, you explode the C4 and the house comes tumbling down. So this lutetium-177, being radioactive, kills the cancer cells where they live. So it's pretty cool. And it is used. It's commercially available. Again, it's only used in men who've exhausted other previous lines of treatment. And and that would include castration. You know, it's for patients with metastatic. In other words, it's spread out of the prostate, and castration resistant cancer. And I don't mean they go in and they chop people's balls off, although at one time they did do that. We have medications now that will cause chemical castration. And they also have to have a positive PET scan, which they will if they're, you know, if they have living metastatic tumor in their bone. And they also, there's other criteria. They had to do the androgen receptor pathway targeting agents. Like I already talked about, that would be, you know, your Lupron and stuff like that, the chemical castration. But they also have had to try taxane-based chemotherapy. So there's a lot of things hoops you got to jump through before you can get this stuff. We used to use the radium-223 and the strontium-69 just for men who had widespread bony tumors that were painful, and it would improve their pain. Now they're using the lutetium-177, has the approval to be sold as increasing lifespan. And it's shown to extend patients' lives by, on average, 4 months. Okay. But that's average. So you got some people that can go for years and some people it doesn't do so much.
Right.
So anyway, so I'm really glad that this worked for him. And I hope, you know, every day is a gift, in my opinion. I think every day is a miracle. And he should enjoy every day that he's got from this. So, you know, and particularly being symptom free. Now, because they said, journalist that doesn't understand palliative medicine. He was sent to a palliative medicine provider. Doesn't mean he was on quote unquote end of life care, but they just said that his tumor was not curable and he saw a palliative medicine person. Palliative medicine people are not hospice. They can see someone from the beginning of their illness till the very end. And it might include hospice. You know, so anyway, DNP, Carissa and I, that, you know about this stuff pretty intimately, and the confusion that people have when people are sent to palliative medicine, they go, oh, I must be dying. And that's not correct. And that's not even true in hospice. You don't have to be dying to go into hospice. You just have to not be choosing curative or life-prolonging treatment and then have a six-month prognosis, whatever that is. You don't have to die in 6 months. We've had people in hospice for years and years and years before.
Yep.
So, but it's just at every recertification period, they have to meet those criteria.
Okay.
That's it. All right. Questions, comments about...
I've got a comment.
Yeah.
And a question.
Okay.
Which one do you want first? We've got principal...
It won't make any sense.
Neither one will make any sense. Principal uncertainty. Is this used exclusively for prostate cancer? That's a good question.
Right now, that's what it's indicated for, because
gotcha.
That's a great question. Yeah. I've wondered about other bony tumors as well, these drugs. So stay tuned on that.
Cool. Comment.
Or Stan, what is it? stand down and stand by, as was once famously said by
somebody.
But we'll know more.
Sounds like a military thing to me. Though, you know, there's an old Drive-By Trucker song called 18 Wheels of Love.
Yeah.
And it's song is about the lead singer's mom who fell in love with this truck driver that was placed on hospice care.
Okay.
And wound up being able to thanks to modern medicine and great health care, was able to work through the hospice care and actually wound up living a long, healthy life. That's a true story. Yeah, it's a great song, actually.
I do think that people who are comfortable live longer than people who are suffering. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think that in any case, hospice, if you're a candidate for it, you know, if they've said, we don't have anything else for this, and you're choosing not to pursue curative or lifelong treatment, I think they are the ones that are specialty trained in comfort measures.
Right.
And I think that I really do think people live longer if they're under that kind of care. I just looked up lutetium 177 therapy is right now only used for men with prostate cancer who have tried for other treatments. I think surely to goodness, they'll be doing research on other bone cancers. Yeah. Breast cancer can metastasize to bone. Lots of tumors can. But I've only seen these things used in prostate cancer. And honestly, I've wondered about that. I've never taken the time to research why that is, if the tumors are different, or if it's just all the research is driven by men, and of course they're going to go for what, affects them first. Mm-hmm. We'll find out. Mm-hmm. All right. Will you send me a note on that, Dr. Scott, to remind me to look into why these things are only used in prostate cancer?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir. The brand name for the lutetium 177 is Pluvicto.
Mm.
So, Gort, Klaatu, Pluvicto, Nikto. Remember, anybody know that reference?
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Okay, very good. I'll give myself this then. Day the earth stood still, everybody. Okay. An update on your old pal, Dr. Steve. My bronchiectasis is back, acting up again because it is allergy season. You get influenza, you get inflammation in the old lungs. So I've been coughing my fool head off. And also, my doctor found that I have elevated red blood cell count to the point where he was a little bit alarmed and took me off of my testosterone supplement as the first step. And I'm going through fucking andropause.
Nice.
And it's fun. You know, the hot flashes and, depression.
How high was it?
It was pretty high.
Mark, well, okay.
So,
because it's usually a little bit high right after you've taken your injection.
Well, I wasn't taking injections. I was doing the gel. So he switched me to the injections, but I haven't started that yet. So anyway.
Can you give blood to alleviate that?
Well, yeah. If I have certain conditions that cause elevated red blood cells, then I can just donate blood and then they just throw it away. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of different effing things I just as soon not go into what it could be. Mm-hmm. But I think that's why I've been slack on getting shows up on the podcast and stuff like that. We've been good about doing the SiriusXM show, but I've been really slack about that and Patreon and a whole lot of other fucking shit in my life. So I'm also have decided, and I'm only saying this because I think other people should consider it, going away for a week and just working on me. You know, I can go to therapy for an hour every 10 days, and that's great.
And the whole time you're in there, your phone's buzzing. Hey, Dr. Steve. Yeah, Hey, Dr. Steve.
Give thyself a bell.
It's absolutely true. And, I'd flip it over, and some things I go, I'm so sorry, I've got to take this kind of thing. And I can do other kinds of therapy for one day, and then at night I can doom scroll all night instead of doing things that are good for me. So I think if I just go for a week, I think that's all I'll need is a week. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to this floop-de-doo retreat. And they said, well, we have 80 things you can choose from. It's like, that's my problem. I don't need 80 things to pick from. I need
nothing.
A charismatic cult leader to tell me what
drink
I need to
Kool-Aid.
Do to fix myself.
Drink the Kool-Aid, Dr. Steve.
I'm almost, at this point.
Ready for the Kool-Aid?
Well, I'm not. Well, yeah, that too. Seriously. But
a special Kool-Aid.
But I'm thinking about, that's what I need. So they said, okay, well, we can do that too. Yeah. So anyway. Anyway, so there you go. That's your old pal's
Let's make
update.
Special Kool-Aid.
I can probably hook you up.
Really?
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. It's a what special are we talking infused about? Kool-Aid, if you will.
Infused Correct. With what? Are we microdosing or are we? I don't need any more of your CBD right now.
No, this won't be CBD. This will be the real.
Okay.
Well, greenery. Real greenery.
He's being all mysterious. Okay.
Real greenery.
What I need is magic mushrooms. That's what I need.
Okay, well, let's make mushroom
tea. Well, hell, that's all you
tea.
Had to say. We'll take care of that, too.
All right. You have? Oh, okay. So
No. Don't know anything about that.
Dr. Scott doesn't know anything about it.
I know nothing about it.
All right. let's.
One thing. Don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
Well, but before we do, Tacy, do you have topic time?
I do have topic time, so it's time for everyone to go to the restroom.
It's Tacy's time of topics. A time for Tacy to
take
discuss
a break from
topics
the podcast.
Of the day. Not to be confused with topic time with Harrison Young, which is copyrighted by Harrison Young and Area 58 Public Access. And now, here's Tacy.
I'm sorry, I stepped all over what you were saying with the intro. What were you saying? It's time for everybody to go take
a
shit.
To the restroom?
No, that's not true.
Well, hello, everyone. Tiny organ, long-lasting pain, mystery of chronic appendicitis.
Boo. Mm. I don't like that.
So this lady was just 15 years old when she developed bouts of gnawing pain in her lower belly so bad she would have to lie in the fetal position for hours. Mm. Every few weeks and for the next 20 years, the sensation would return, disabling her. And she says she's been through labor, and she would say it was the worst pain, and it was comparable to that. So it wasn't until college when she talked to a doctor who, without any tests, chalked it up to IBS.
Yeah.
And
that's what most people would.
Yeah, and she threw her hands up and said, nobody's going to be able to figure this out. This is just the way I live.
Yeah.
And it would take nearly 20 years of pain, regular on and off episodes that could span weeks, months, or years. Studies have found that it occurs in about 1% of all cases of appendicitis and affects adults and children alike. Hmm. It's almost always acute, but it occurs in 7% of the U.S. population with 250,000 cases reported
annually.
You mean
annually. Appendicitis yes. is almost always acute? Yeah, yeah.
Most are diagnosed between 10 and 30 years old. Both chronic and acute versions cause similar symptoms. You know, pain begins around the belly button and eventually moves to the lower right side of the belly, as
correct.
Well as nausea,
Give
vomiting, fear.
That's an
and
important
loss of
sign
appetite.
That it starts around the navel and then migrates down to the right lower quadrant. Now, when Ronnie B had his pain was all in his back. And the initial thought was kidney stones. I remember him talking about this, but it was because his appendix was turned around. It was in a weird position in his body.
Mine was very textbook.
Yeah, you had appendicitis?
Mm-hmm.
So it was textbook?
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Well, would you want to expand on that? Or?
No, Tacy just said it, exactly what it was.
Should we Google it and see what it's
I mean, it started at...
It was all musty and you could
It was.
Through.
I mean, it was like such an old textbook. It started on my belly button area.
I had information in it.
Migrated to my right lower quadrant. Mm-hmm. And every fucking medical student had to come in and push on my belly and see if I had rebound pain. And then I also had... Something when they hit the sole of my foot, it would send a pain directly to where my appendix was. And then
That's
I went for emergency surgery.
That's simple reflexology. Everybody knows that, right?
Right.
Well, what it is it's a form of rebound. that, you know, when you're juggling, you're jostling a different part of the body, and that's how sensitive
like
it is.
It got so bad, my mom was like, the next person that comes in here, I'm going to fucking kill him. Like, you cannot touch her anymore. Whoa. So
it is the worst, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know. They gave me Dilaudid or something.
So you were fine after
that. I was fine.
Yeah. CT scans and white blood cell counts, which are often elevated in those with acute appendicitis, can come back normal, making chronic cases even harder to spot. It's believed to occur once the appendix becomes partially or completely blocked by hardened balls of stool, inflammation due to infection, or other diseases of the gut or cancerous growths.
I'm just surprised it doesn't have hardened balls of stool in it all the time. Yes. And why isn't everybody's appendix?
Mine had crab shells in it.
Was that what it was, really?
Yep.
Figures.
Because you're from Baltimore. Wow. How old were you?
Oh, I was here. I was 18.
Huh.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
That's bizarre.
How many crabs you figure you ate a year when you lived in Baltimore?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all.
8 million.
And they
8 million
opened it up
a day.
And they said, we found chitinous stuff in there, and you said crab shells, or did they come out and the pathologist said it's filled with crab shells?
No, the pathologist told us.
That's how fun. That's wild.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I had eaten them recently, too, so.
So it talks about how a lot of physicians aren't aware that this is a real medical phenomenon.
Right, yeah.
And there's no official diagnostic criteria, so it's a diagnosis of exclusion.
You just got to be smart and think about it.
Yeah.
You know?
So finally, a CT scan revealed that she had acute appendicitis and had it removed, and she's been pain-free ever since.
Oh, it sucks that she had to wait so long, though.
Yeah, but decades. 20
years.
Decades.
When you have somebody with just chronic abdominal pain, that's the first thing you're going to think of is irritable bowel syndrome.
IBS, yep.
And the thing is what we always talk about are zebras. I mean, this is a rare disease that she's got. Most providers probably never seen it. Mm-hmm. And if they learned about it in medical school or, you know, nurse practitioner school or PA school, they probably forgot about it, saying, yeah, you know, when will I ever see that? So, you know, what the way we describe it is, or the metaphor, if you are standing in a field in Oklahoma and you hear the clippity-clop of hoofbeats behind you, you're going to assume it's a horse.
Right.
Not a zebra.
Right.
But it's not impossible. It could be a fucking zebra.
Could be.
So you can't forget about the zebras out there, my friends in medicine.
Or it could be a giraffe without stripes.
True.
Oh, my God. Yes. I can't wait.
It's
so
cool. Oh, my gosh.
That's like our little Sebastian.
It was the cutest
here.
Thing I've ever seen. Yeah.
Did they ever name her?
No, they had four names. They were, I think, taking some.
They named to name it Little Sebastian. That would be hilarious. If you've never seen Parks and Rec, that's a.
That
Parks
is.
And
Rec. Well, we have our own funniest. Little Sebastian now. Yes, yes. So I'm little very Sebastian. Excited about it, too.
Yeah, if you've not watched that Parks and Rec, it's worth your.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it. All right. Very good. You got anything else, Tase?
Yes, I have one very quick one.
Oh, cool.
Study questions if blue light blocking glasses really work.
Oh, this is a good question. I saw this and I didn't read it.
Yeah, despite claims by their makers, blue light glasses probably don't reduce eye strain for people who spend a lot of time looking at computer screens or their phones. A new study says. The glasses probably don't improve wearer's sleep habits either, according to the study, which was published this week. And, you know, these became really popular during COVID.
You know, it's very
COVID.
Expensive. Mm-hmm.
And so it's probably not worth spending the extra money.
Assholes.
On your,
they sold that shit to me. I thought it worked, but it must have been a placebo. Mm-hmm. What I found, I have horrible eye strain. That's why it's very difficult for me to take an 8-hour computer exam because you're focused. But my, we have to recertify every X number of years. And they put the X-rays at the very end. Mm-hmm. And by then I can't see shit. It's all blurry and messy. And what my ophthalmologist said was, it's because you're focused on the screen. It's not actually that you're straining. As long as you're refraction is right in your glasses. He said, use an eye drop called Systane Ultra. Mm-hmm. And when I started using that, 90% of that quote-unquote eye strain went away. He said, it's really what it is dry eyes.
Oh, okay. Cool.
and it feels like you're straining, and you probably are because you're refracting a little bit different because you don't have that film of fluid over your eye. But that made a huge difference. But I paid a lot of money for these stupid blue blockers.
Mm-hmm.
And they make me look weird on, you know, if I wear them on a, like a video podcast or something that's got light. I was on one of them for the state of Tennessee, and they made me take my glasses off because they were recording it for like broadcast or something.
Anyway. Oh, geez.
Because, yeah, I just looked weird. It looked like I was wearing blue sunglasses. Anyway, all right, well, okay, fuck off with that, and they can fuck right off with, I wonder if the taking the blue pixels out makes a difference when you're, you know, at night when you're doom scrolling, does that keep you, you know, because the blue pixel is supposed to keep you up. I have converted my Kindle because I read at night. By the way, I'm reading Three Body Problem, which is an amazing science fiction book. But I have it set so that the background is black and the characters are white. And that way there's very little white. And then I turn off the blue pixels. You can do that. Mm-hmm. And that seems to – it doesn't keep me up. I'll tell you, I get my money's worth reading a book because I'll buy a book on my Kindle. And I will literally read one or two pages before I fall asleep. So it takes me 6 months to finish a novel or something if I'm just reading in bed. So, you know, that $12 you paid for it goes a long way when you do that.
Agreed.
Anyway. All right. Well, thank you, Tacy. Those were very good.
Great. You're welcome.
Well, Tacy. Great.
All right.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So let's get back to...
Number one thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
All right, let's see here. Oh,
hey, Dr. Steve, this is Matt. Cassidy's dad. We met a while back at Carl's get-together. I had a medical...
Okay, Matt. Nice to meet you.
A question for you.
Again.
It's about the Navage that I heard you recommend on your show. I started trying to use it because I've had allergies through the years, and I found it really helped. But when I first got it, I could not get it to work, and I ended up having to call their customer service line.
Okay, I have not listened to this phone call. I knew what it was about, but I'm going to bet it was a bad battery. And I've told them a couple of times that we've had a bunch of people that buy them and they have to immediately replace the batteries because they sit on the shelf for too long.
Gotcha.
And a lot of places will have, you know, a little just sell a plastic tab that you pull out that will keep the batteries from going dead.
Right.
And I remember talking to Martin about this, the former owner of Navaj, he sold out about it. And there was a reason why they couldn't do it, and I don't remember what it was. But I would just pack the batteries separately.
Yeah, it's not hard.
Yeah, I know everybody else does that. It is weird, but anyway.
And they showed me that I could reverse the flow and it'll go one way through my nose, but not the other.
Okay, so he's old valve nose. That's different. So that's a different problem. But if you do buy a Navaj and it doesn't work right away, and you have a normal non-valvular nose, then, yeah, it's going to be the batteries. But anyway.
I did have a deviated system.
There you go.
Years ago, I had it fixed, though, and I just couldn't figure out why that would be an issue. I was just wondering what your opinion would be on that.
Yeah, that's wild. So he has a valve.
Some weird, wild stuff.
Yeah. Johnny Carson. I need to put that on here. That'd be a good drop.
That's some weird, wild
that's
stuff.
Weird, wild
that's
stuff.
Weird, wild stuff.
His nose acts like a diode. It only allows flow in one direction.
Yep.
So, but yeah, so I guess a lot of people don't read the instructions, but that thing, you can flip the nose nipples, and I don't know what else to call them. They're just nose nipples. You can flip them and rotate them 180 degrees, and then the flow will go the other way. So when I use the Navaj, which, by the way, you can check it out at stuff.drsteve.com. Just scroll down, you can see it. But I will do half of the saline flowing one way, and then I'll flip it around and do it the other half flowing the other way. And it seems like it kind of makes sense. It would clean out your nose a little bit better. For those that don't know what we're talking about, it's basically a motorized neti pot. You don't have to lean over the sink and attain a certain position. It shoots saline in one nostril and sucks it out the other one. It was brilliant, brilliant design. Tacy was a skeptic. I bought her one. She loved it. Mel B did one on the show. You can go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@weirdmedicine, and you can see NP Mel B, who hated putting things in her nose, just end up falling in love with the Navaj. So we don't have anything to do with them. But what? Are you okay?
Yeah, sorry. I just thought about hating putting things in places. And
well, we got to talk about that, don't we? Okay, yes. Thank you for remembering. But anyway, so check out the Navaj. Now, last week we talked about that, what is it, cock or coke or toke or something, headache thing.
Oh, yeah.
It starts with a Z.
It doesn't. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But let's not say the name. But anyway, and it looked like something that you would clean a lens with,
or an infant's nose out. Or
a nasal suction. Yeah. What do you call that?
Bulb syringe,
or like an ear cleaning thing. But it had a tube on the end of it, and then an ear nipple that you could shove in your ear.
Another nipple reference.
Of course.
You should get your own bell for
everything
that.
Everything is nipples to me. So anyway, so now DNP Carissa had a headache, and you usually don't have headaches, but you have them every once in a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you tried it. So because we didn't say the name, we're not trying to disparage their product or promote their product. I'm just curious if it did anything, because you showed up and you look, you know, delightful, but I don't know. I can't tell if your head still hurts.
My head still hurts some. It doesn't hurt as bad, but I've had a lot of caffeine and a lot of ibuprofen.
So it's hard
to
say.
I had no immediate relief from the use of the device, ear nipple.
So tell me what happened. You put the ear nipple in there, and then how does it function?
You compress the bulb. Okay. You put the ear nipple in your ear.
Yep.
And then you let go, and it just holds
negative pressure in your ear.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you clamp down and take it out, and then that's it.
That's the whole thing?
That's it.
You're not supposed to do it a certain number of times or for a certain duration?
No, I mean, it gives you different options. You can put it in, and then, no, it's always deflated when you put it in. So there's a way to do it differently, and I don't know. I did not like it. I fucking hated it. I did it in both ears just for this. Yeah. My left ear is really, like, I can't stand anything to even touch it, let alone be in it, because I had so many ear infections as a child.
Yeah.
I have scar tissue and all kinds of fucked up shit on my ear drum thing.
Yeah. Your tympanic membrane.
My eardrum thing. That sounds more legit. I don't have a brain yet today. But anyways, I could tolerate it better in my right ear.
Yeah. So with an N of one, we did not...
Not a glowing review.
We proved the null hypothesis, but it's only an N of one.
It didn't make it worse.
And I had my own hypothesis, correct, of why I had the headache. So
what was your hypothesis of why you had the headache?
Tension.
Okay, so I don't think that this thing would work for that.
Correct. Like I had tension from like muscles.
Neck.
Muscle, neck tension that is radiating up to my head.
Right.
So
muscle tension, not emotional tension.
Right.
So much. Okay. I think this thing might help if someone had a chronically retracted eardrum and had head pain from negative pressure in the middle ear. Maybe it would help to draw air up into, you know, through the eustachian tube if they were unable to pop their ear. I think it might help for that, but I just don't see. Now, Dr. Scott, you're the expert on weird, you know, if you put a needle in between my first and second finger, somehow that helps a headache and stuff like that. So is there anything in traditional Chinese medicine that would make sense given this thing?
I can't, you know,
because I know people sell acupuncture like things to people.
Well, but this is not really, you know, a similar thing. This is just another odd thing.
You do cupping and moxibustion and
stuff. Well, yeah, but so I don't do cupping on an eardrum.
Right.
You know, on a tympanic membrane.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
It was oh, kapop. Can you hear that? I can see it right now.
Yeah.
Ooh, but you could do cupping tomorrow.
We could do cupping on the neck and shoulders, which I would do for a tension headache. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
for a tension headache.
But, you know, the only thing I can figure is maybe a sinus headache, you know.
Yeah,
pressure headache. Yeah.
I could maybe see that. I mean, it felt very nice at first, like on this ear, my right ear.
I'd be interested to see if anybody has had some good results with that.
I should try it on my right ear because I've torn my right eardrum twice and it's scarred and it's miserable. So
I will give them credit. They're not charging an arm and a leg for it. I see a lot of stuff on the internet, then it's way, way, way overpriced.
Oh, shoot,
and so I'll give them credit for that. And maybe it'll help some people.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Didn't help DNP Carissa, but that is that's anecdotal evidence. It's
she needs a lot more help than a little suction in the ear,
truth.
I'm pretty sure.
Facts.
All right.
I don't know where to find the help I need.
It's going to take a team, right?
I'm going to a week-long retreat that may end up being longer than a week. So we'll
they may throw him in and lock the door behind him.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. See you in a year.
It's okay. Certain someone threatened to send me away to a convent, so.
What? You? Huh? Who was that? Can you say?
No. My therapist.
Oh, really? Your therapist was going to send you to a convent? What kind of therapist is this? What good would that do?
She just wanted to send me away where I didn't have contact with anything or anyone.
Yeah, fair. That's reasonable.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to take another call?
Let's do it.
All right. We may have done this one before, but
Namaskar, Dr. Steve.
Oh, we did.
And crew. No, I didn't go to Thailand. Actually,
did we do this one about traveler's diarrhea?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I hope you had a great trip, man, and whatever we told you was decent.
I have a question regarding hormone replacement therapy. I see a nurse practitioner who kind of knows what he's doing. I've had to research stuff and request things on my own. I don't like testosterone the way it made me feel and the side effects, but my levels are kind of low with the growth hormone. He mentioned it's really good, but he would take it himself. His levels, I'm sure, are way better than mine. He's about my age anyway. But he said it would be too expensive for himself, but it's not too expensive. And who knows, he could be on it. Other people that practice can be on it. It's kind of a large practice. But I think he's scared he's going to get sued or cancer or something. I've made another appointment with him because I wanted to okay. talk to him. I've been talking to
what
him.
What time is the appointment? Portal, what time and day is
what's
it?
What's the deal with that? I don't. I could just see him, that my insurance will pay for it, and I can go to a regular pharmacy instead of going to one of these stupid hormone places that charge you a bunch of money and want you to use their own stupid yeah. pharmacy and ship their stuff through the mail.
I don't disagree.
What
with
do
that.
I do about I think I can lay out a good case for me to do it. The fact that I'm not at risk for cancer, I'll do any test.
Yeah, okay. I'm not 100% sure what he's asking, but if you have low testosterone,
check.
The first thing to do is figure out why do you have it.
Right.
A lot of people just, they don't check. So there's two ways it can happen. Either your testicles are not being told to make testosterone, mm-hmm. or they're not able to.
Right.
That's really the only two. And so the first, or the former, is caused by a pituitary problem. Mm-hmm. So check pituitary hormones. Mm-hmm. And then the second is caused by, you know, just lazy testicles. Now, if you have a pituitary problem, we want to look and see why, what's going on. So they'll do an MRI of your brain,
okay.
see if you have something going on with your pituitary. But assume it's regular garden variety, low testosterone, you know, hypogonadism. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of things you can do. You can just replace the testosterone, but he didn't like that. You give somebody testosterone. What that does is it shuts the testicles down even further because they just go, well, what are we even here for? You know, obviously someone else is doing our job for us, so we're just going to relax and your testicles will decrease in size and they will cease to function. The other thing, though, and he was talking about growth hormone, don't use that. There is a thing called clomiphene, and clomiphene citrate is a drug that they use to get women to ovulate, but also works in men to get the, without going through the whole mechanism, to get the testicles to make their own testosterone. In other words, it wakes them up and causes them to be less lazy. And the great thing about that is if you're interested in maintaining fertility, you will continue to make sperm cells, whereas if you do testosterone replacement therapy, that will eventually cease. The other thing is that your testicles will not get smaller. They'll still be big and meaty and juicy, you know, nuts in your scrotum that you can, you know, flap around and stuff. So you still have that. I'm just trying to see if you guys are listening.
Yes.
And
why do you flap around?
I don't know. It's, you know.
Okay. Just curious.
Yeah. When you get my age, the scrotum's like saltwater taffies, yeah. you know, just pasted against your thigh.
Oh, God. Yeah,
that's why I wear jockeys and not briefs. That's some, anyway. So clomiphene might be the answer. Your testosterone comes up, your testicles still function, you still make sperm, and you still got nice, big, juicy, you know, nads. And, anyway, so that might be the answer.
Might be, yep.
So what I would recommend is go, I get it. You go to these places where they sell bioidentical hormones and all that stuff, and it is enticing. It's expensive. Yeah. There are things that your insurance will pay for. Tacy, when you go to a bioidentical hormone place, does insurance pay for the medication that they sell
I mean,
you?
I guess it depends on the insurance. Mine did when I went to one.
Really?
Yeah, it covered it. I guess the insurance we have now probably would not.
Always the dig on my insurance.
mm-hmm.
Always.
Well, it is shit.
It's never good enough.
I have the same, so.
I mean, right. You have to admit, my insurance before was
you had
pretty
the,
premium.
You had the platinum stuff.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
A little saucy. All right.
Hey, Dr. Steve. It's Mike from New York again.
Hey, Mike.
I'm calling on dreaming. I know you've spoken about this in the past. Last night, I had a dream. I was working in a supermarket like I used to do, and a display crashed. And just as the display crashed, I was awakened by the sound of thunder in the dream.
Oh, okay. We did do this one. God, I've got to do better at clearing these things out. We've done this one, right? No? Okay. Well, everybody's looking at me quizzically. Let's do it again.
I know that you've spoken about this before, but how does that work with your mindset where you're dreaming and you hear a noise that's really a reality noise.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it likened to, let's say, the body-worn cameras the police wear?
It, when I was a kid, this used to happen more often, that I would hear people talking in my house, and then I would have dreams that monsters were saying those things, and then I'd wake up and it'd be my dad or something. Or I would hear the alarm go off, and it would be in my dream. It'd be like a telephone, and I'd try to pick it up, and then I'd wake up and I'd hear the alarm.
Right.
It doesn't really do that anymore. You know, when my alarm goes off, I just wake up. And when there's thunder and stuff, it doesn't invade my dreams anymore. So, I mean, dreaming when you're young is different than dreaming when you're old. There's something different about it. And I've had fewer hypnopompic episodes since I got older and all that kind of stuff. So, but it is fascinating. I mean, the brain
is fascinating. Yeah.
There is a vigilance circuit in the brain. And most of the time it will work. If your dog starts barking, you'll wake up.
Right.
If there's a weird sound in your house, you'll wake up. It, obviously, it doesn't always work because, you know, people can sometimes, if they're used to being in your house, they can, you know, they can come in and you won't wake up. My kids, now when they come in, the dogs don't bark.
Nope.
And I don't wake up. And it's like, could somebody else pull that off? And I don't think so. I think it is, there's just a, you know, a certain cadence to how the kid puts the key in the lock, you know, and how he turns it and opens the door. And there's
where they go next, because they know where they're going.
Yes, there's a cadence to all that stuff
that a
stranger would not have. And it's weird.
Well, and I think we've talked about it, and I think you're right, but it's, you know, the brain compartmentalizing those things and knowing that this is normal.
Right.
And says, hey, this is normal. Continue to sleep. Everything's cool.
But it'll fuck that up, yeah, though, too, sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. Like when I'm driving from Norton, Virginia to, you know, down the mountain, and then my brain goes, yeah, it's normal to just go to sleep right now. Totally fine.
Totally fine.
Yours is a little ass backwards occasionally, but, you know.
Totally fine.
At least it's,
let's just go
to sleep.
At least
it's consistent.
Right now, on a cliff, well,
take
going
our chances.
60 miles an hour.
Take our chances, that's right.
Fucking asshole brain.
Fucking asshole.
What is
Rude.
That?
Oh, man, it is, that's bad stuff, man.
It does do bad stuff. And my right brain and my left brain are always arguing. You know, the left brain's like, well, no, you know, data shows, and the right brain's like,
I just had a flashback of Animal House where the devil's on the one shoulder and come on, you know you want to.
So the answer is, Mike, we have no clue. We just know that there is
great question. No answers.
There are circuits in the brain that do certain things, and there is a vigilant circuit, and it works kind of okay most of the time. But sometimes it will take in stimuli, and if it doesn't see them as threatening, it'll pass it along to the dream module, and the dream module will incorporate it.
Unless it gets hacked.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Yours has been hacked, I'm afraid.
I would look forward
Freddy Krueger?
To that.
I'm not sure who, but somebody hacked his brain there, I think. Yeah.
I would love for somebody to hack my brain.
No,
I mean, for real. Like, Elon's been talking about having a chip inserted in your brain so that you could control computer things and control devices. And so, how cool would it be to just think, oh, it's hot in here, turn the thermostat down? But I've also seen that.
I think that's why you have, you know.
I've also seen that movie when the guy, you know, the chip takes over, and it's a problem.
Not a good thing, yeah.
It's a problem. So anyway, all right, very good. Let's see here. Okay, this is a good one.
This has been off the rails today.
What's that?
It's been off the rails today.
Bizarre.
Is it?
It's crazy. In a good way, though.
Yes.
I thought this show was supposed to be off the rails.
Oh, well, fuck me. Maybe I don't know what's going on.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know. All right.
Dr. Steve, I'm reading this article about the U.S. Supreme Court stopping a guy on death row who wants to die. He doesn't want to be, he wants to die via nitrogen hypoxia.
Yes, I agree with him. Hang on. We'll talk
what in the world? First off,
what would be more fun is helium hypoxia, though. But we'll talk about that. You get
or nitrous.
Either one of these will work. Well, nitrous
hypoxia. isn't our whole atmosphere just nitrogen?
Yes.
How is that going to kill him?
Okay. Oh, I've got a great... This is such a good... I'm going to give this guy a bell.
And is it going to be more painful than a lethal ingestion?
No.
Isn't he going to be like... Is he going to choke to death?
Nope.
Or what?
Okay, I got to give him a bell.
Give thyself a bell.
Never know what hit him, right?
Okay, so this happened to me once. I went to, there was a church in Grand Rapids, Michigan called Fountain Street Church, and it was very progressive, and it was just, this is how progressive it was. Number one, I saw Steppenwolf and I saw the Grateful Dead in concert in the sanctuary.
Oh, wow.
And when you went to youth group, you could smoke cigarettes.
No,
so
cool.
That's how cool. Crazy it was. So anyway, but they had a big tank of helium. And I, being the stupid jokester that I am, started filling up balloons, and then I would suck the air in. Now, when you suck in helium, your body can't tell the difference between it and oxygenated air.
Okay.
But it feels normal to you. If you hold your breath, everything goes weird because your body knows that carbon dioxide is increasing.
Okay.
But if you inhale helium or any other neutral gas that won't sustain life, your body can't tell that's what it is, particularly if it's odorless and colorless like helium and nitrogen are. So I kept inhaling it, and, hey, how are you? And, we represent the, I was being hilarious. And the next thing I knew, I was waking up on the ground.
Oh, no.
Because what had happened was I had taken in so much helium and not enough oxygen that I lost consciousness. And you can do the same thing with nitrogen. You could do it with any inert gas that doesn't, So what you would do if you were, and yes, the atmosphere is 70% nitrogen. It's that 21% oxygen that is the key, right? Yeah, she's
sure.
Not paying attention. So who are you texting there, DNP Carissa?
I'm not texting anyone. I'm looking up what's in keyboard cleaner because this question made me think about...
Keyboard cleaner?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, like the spray?
The spray where people huff that shit and...
Aha, yeah, so I would love to know what's in that.
Yeah, sorry.
No. Thank you.
Kind of
you
paying attention, just going down a different rabbit hole.
Yeah, let me know if you find something interesting on that because I find that interesting as well.
Psychostimulant.
We used to huff toluene. That was the gas, and it's the solvent that's in that used to be in airplane glue.
Difluoroethane.
Oh, well. That's about okay. Difluoroethane would do it too.
Psychoactive properties. My father huffed that and went into torsades.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So torsades being a crazy heart rhythm that if sustained could be fatal.
He went into it like 5 different times.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. But so you could, in theory, take a mask that seals very well so that no oxygen is getting in. And if you just gave that person pure helium, they could make a couple of funny sounds and goof around. And then what would happen is they would lose consciousness. And if you... The difference with me was when I lost consciousness, I hit the floor and started breathing oxygenated air again, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if you don't breathe oxygenated air and you continue to breathe the helium or nitrogen, you would just not ever wake up and eventually your heart would stop. I don't think we should be killing people, that the state should be killing people. But if I were put in that position, I would say, yeah, that would be a pretty good way to go. And it would be really quick, too.
Yeah.
And that way you don't have – because companies do not want to sell their drug to prisons. This is the whole thing about lethal injection is they don't want to sell their drug to prisons because they don't want to be associated with death penalty and stuff like that because there are political ramifications to that. But it would be very hard to say, well, we're not going to sell tanks of nitrogen because they're all over the place, So why they don't do it, I don't know. I don't know why, but they don't. But I agree with that guy. I think that would be a decent way to go if you had to go,
Sure.
All right?
All right.
Well, what else? We've got punch to the liver, but we've only got like 30 seconds to do. So punching someone to the liver, don't do that. How about that? And
I got a quick one if you want it.
Yeah. Hey, it was a quick one.
Diesel Child, my doc switched me from IM sub testosterone to sub-Q testosterone. Is there anything I should be worried about?
To sub-Q testosterone?
Yeah, the answer is probably not.
No, I wouldn't think so. Yeah.
It's a little. Yep.
I am being intramuscular. Sub-Q would be less painful.
Much less painful, yeah.
I think
it's
I'm
just
going to
dissolve
gel,
under
though.
The. It's just going to dissolve under the skin.
Yeah. All right.
So, well, you should be good, DC.
I'll look into it, make sure that we're telling you the right thing.
But. Yeah.
Well, before we go, there is a question from Principled Uncertainty, one of our Irish brothers in the fluid family, regarding dopamine fasting. He said, is dopamine fasting worth doing? Well, again, the question is, what do you want to accomplish? But dopamine fasting was created by this California psychiatrist, which should tell you something right there, Cameron Sipa. And it doesn't have a whole lot to do with fasting or dopamine. And so...
Ew.
What?
To reduce pleasure? Yeah. Sensitivity.
Well, what it is, dopamine's a mechanism that explains how addiction can become reinforced and makes for a catchy title. But that's about it. So the thinking behind a dopamine fast is using cognitive behavioral therapy, which we endorse. We become less dominated by unhealthy stimuli, and that is text messages, YouTube notifications, beeps, rings, all that stuff. I've got all my notifications turned down, and I just check my phone periodically, which is why I tell people just call me. So instead of automatically responding to these cues, we ought to allow our brains to take breaks and reset from this. So, but you can't fast from a naturally occurring brain chemical. And lots of people have misinterpreted the science to view dopamine as if it were heroin or cocaine. And they give themselves a tolerance break so that the pleasures of whatever they're depriving themselves of, food, sex, human contact, will be more intense or vivid when they're consumed again. This wasn't the intent of the original person. So, misunderstanding science causes maladaptive behaviors. And that's not me saying that. That's Harvard, where .edu, where I'm getting this from. And, but taking time out for mental rejuvenation is never a bad thing, but it's not anything new. So I would say, there you go. And to hell with that.
Hell with it.
Dopamine fasting. I don't want to reduce the pleasure in my life. I just want to reduce
stress,
shitty pleasures. I mean, doom scrolling is pleasurable, but it's a shitty pleasure. Unless I run across Tukey broadcasting live, and then I always have to click in there.
Then that's different.
And then I get pleasure from sending super chats from Myrtle. And I called as Myrtle today on his show. He had somebody on his show. Oh, and Myrtle calls in. And it's like, is this the swap shop? I got me a chair. Oh, me, I'm a sad end.
Oh, no.
And I don't want to sit on him no more.
Oh, no.
And she had, well, and I got a load of manure. And it's a good, but it's human manure. I'll tell you that. But it's high quality. So, anyway, all right. You kind of had to be there. All right. Well,
obviously.
Listen, thanks. Always go to Dr. Scott, Tacy, DNP Carissa. Thank you. Thanks to everyone who's made this show happen over the years. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, on demand, and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules, podcasts, and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps. Quit smoking, get off your asses, get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week. Well, wait a minute. I did want to say thank you to our moderators in the Fluid family. And that would be Dr. Scott, but also Sean P.
Yo.
And Amanda Davidson. Did you assign anyone else to be a moderator? Because it's obviously you're doing that, because I haven't ever looked at it. Have you assigned anyone else?
Thanks. I not that I'm aware that I've...
But until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine.
Goodbye, everyone.